You are listening to the McCarthy Project live from Minnesota, where we have been attacking life and sports since 2001.
Good morning, everybody. This is Stephen McCarthy from the McCarthy Project, and we are talking today about mental toughness. And one of our regular guests, Trisha O'Hara, is on the show today. But before we go into the subject, I'm going to give a little background on Trisha, because I think she by far epitomizes mental toughness as a young person and in her professional career. And I will just kind of briefly just go over her background. She started off as an orphan in the Oregon or the Northwest, and basically raised herself, you know, with the help of some families along the way, but she basically essentially did it by herself. And she has since moved on to be a very successful professional in the area of sports modeling, personal training, motivational speaker, all this kind of different things. So, Trisha, thank you for coming on the show today.
Hi, everyone.
Cool. All right, so we're talking today about mental toughness.
And I know that well.
Exactly. And if let's so we're going to be talking about it from a couple different areas. One is, I think there's a big piece in society where people or young kids are saying, oh, I am mentally tough. I'm doing everything that I can do, or, you know, and really they're not, you know, if you will. And Secondly, as you've kind of progressed through your life, you've gotten a more understanding of what mental toughness is and what it, how to kind of put it into a package about what kids need to hear related to how to develop it, you know, and is it needed, you know, type of a question. So let's talk first of all about some of the things that you did as a young person that started to develop mental toughness and what it meant to you in your life.
Well, for me, Stephen, it wasn't really, it was kind of more like I didn't have a choice. It was just sort of a way of surviving. So I didn't really have the option to just kick back and say, okay, life's going to take care of me. That wasn't an option for me. So, and I think as I discussed in one of the past shows, I was fortunate to be raised in an affluent community. So I think that we're all byproducts of our peer group and, you know, what and who we're surrounded by. And so being in this environment, I knew that I definitely didn't want the environment that I currently was in, and I was going to do whatever it took to achieve that. So life getting up every day was, you know, living in poverty and living in defeat wasn't an option for me. It just wasn't. And, you know, I think probably I was the hardest on myself and expected the most out of myself, you know, even long after my adopted parents had kicked me out, and perhaps they sort of instilled that in me when I was with them, but it, I couldn't let myself down, and I think we're always our own worst critic. So I just, you get up every day and you do what it takes. You know, it was like, for me, I knew that I had to continue. My one saving grace and thing that saved me through all the chaos in my life was running. And so running was the way that I kind of like made sense of things. And I didn't care if it was raining. I didn't care if it was snowing. I don't care if it was the middle of the night or early morning. I just went and did it. And I think when you have that drive, when you have that goal, when you have that perseverance, it's just, you know, and you do what other people think is impossible. It's like in your mind, there's no limit. Even though I had my parents telling me that you'll never amount to anything, you'll never make anything of my life. And honestly, Stephen, I think that was, you know, those words were sort of what fueled the fire to, you know, your words aren't going to define me. And if it takes me my whole lifetime, I'm going to prove you wrong sort of attitude. So I just, I knew that defeat just wasn't an option for me. And I think a lot of people in life, when things start getting hard, they give up. They don't even know the possibilities that they have in life. And it's, you know, that's life. You want something almost, you know, any really successful person out there has probably a story like mine. You know, it was, You know, they had a drive, they had a dream, and they did whatever it took to succeed. And I think losing wasn't an option for me.
Now, I have some questions, because the words that you've used really do bring, like, fire, and nobody was going to tell me that I couldn't, you know, type of a scenario where they're very semi-defiant, you know, or very defiant, I guess, in a lot of ways. But talk to us, what you see in today's society and how you would communicate to young people when their friend tells them that they can't, so therefore they don't, you know, type of thing. Is that, you know what I'm saying? Is that mental toughness? Or, you know, is it something deeper than that?
That's giving in. That's giving. That's not even challenging yourself. That's not even stretching your limits. That's like, okay, if that's what my peer group thinks or that's what that person thinks, then that must be all that I'm worth. I mean, you know, you look at, like, successful people. I think Michael Jordan, that he was told that he would never become a famous or successful basketball player, but he didn't give in to those words, you know. And look, now he was one of the most successful, basketball players ever. I mean, seriously, it's just you have to – that's the easy way out for someone to say, you can't succeed. Okay, well, you know, you're right. How do you know they're right? You didn't even try. Sorry.
Yes.
And, you know, and so for me, I just, again, I just said that was never an option. And trust me, for everything I've gone through in my life, when I do write that book one of these days, Stephen, it's like, you know, it was, you know, as Robert Frost puts it, it was the road less traveled by far. You know, and I think, as I had mentioned, I think in some of the last shows that we did and also earlier, we are highly affected by our peer group. You know, if you're surrounded yourself with people that are positive and motivating, you know, that's the kind of, you know, and you get in that environment, you feel off it, right? But if you're around, mm-hmm. you know, people that are negative and complaining and say you're never going to be able to do anything or make anything of your life, well, you know what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean, if everyone, you know, in your peer group is telling you that, you know, it's very highly unlikely the percentage of someone that's going to get up and be like, no, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm, you know, I'm going to be the one that stands out. I mean, yes, there are people, obviously, that have done that, but a large percentage, you know, they believe what other people say, you know. And it's like, this is your path in life, not anyone else's. And you, whatever you choose to do is up to you. You know, it's not this person's responsibility or that person's responsibility, although we like to always play the victim, right? We always like to blame someone else. We're in our life right now because of this person or that person or my ex-wife or my parents, you know. And, like, for me, everything that my parents put me, my adopted parents, I don't have any anger towards them. You know, it's life. I truly have to believe that they treated me the best that they knew how to, you know, with the tools they were given.
And so, let's go down this road, because I think, sorry to interrupt you, but because I know that you've got to leave here quick, because I want to get to another area, too. We talked about the peer group. Now let's talk about when an adult says something to a young person. You know, in your situation where somebody, an adult comes up to you and says, okay, you're not going to amount to anything. How do you approach that?
Again, I think it is individual to the child, because I think if they said that to my sister is, and I love my sister to death, she's everything to me. My sister is more dependent. I'm more independent. You know, I have that fire under me. So if someone says that I can't, I'll come back and say, I'll show you 20 ways I can. You know, where my sister would be, if they said that to her, she'd be like, you know, you're right. So I truly think that is, unfortunately, it's you know, all up to the individual. If an individual is character of strength, you know, and belief and wherewithal, then they're going to be like, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what I am or am not capable of. And if you have someone more weak-minded, then yes, they will, you know, fall prey to these words, I believe, unfortunately.
Well, and see, it's funny, because I'll use an analogy that came from a doctor one time. He wanted to invent orthoscopic surgery, which, I mean, this is probably a 20-year-old. I mean, I guess I don't know nothing about the medical world that well.
Yeah.
But he went and showed his idea to another doctor, and he said, big surgeons make big cuts. Little surgeons make little cuts. And basically this guy, and he didn't invent orthoscopic surgery. Another guy did and became magnificently wealthy. But that guy, that one statement, big surgeons make big incisions. That's what it was. Big surgeons make big incisions. Little surgeons right. make little incisions. You know what I mean? And it's funny
yeah.
how parents, adults, coaches, all those people that are in position over young people don't realize the power of words.
Of course.
And
you can never take
yes.
words back. Never, ever.
Now,
no,
this is another side, too.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, this is an upside, too, because there's two sides to the word defiance in my book, in the sense that, okay, you defy the parent or the person in authority over you, but there is a wrong kind of defiance, either where you go too far and you burn yourself out, or you actually should listen. How do you find the balance between all those different pieces?
I think, for me personally, I think it was trial and error. But I would agree with you. I would agree with you. I was so headstrong, and I think a lot when I was younger, I had a lot of anger and frustration. And so I was like, I'm going to prove you. And I would, like, you know, work 20 million jobs and work 20 hours a day and go to school and, you know, work out and run my body into the ground. So that wasn't healthy either, you know, because it was like I kept going and going and going, and my mind and body weren't really connecting, and it was just all for, I started, it wasn't so much that I was, you know, doing everything for the passion and the purpose of it, but it was to run away and prove, you know, it was the reasoning behind it, you know, it was more because it was like, I'm going to show you. It came from a space of anger, and,
yes.
you know, you're not going to defy me. Those words are not going to defy me. So, but, you know, you just learn. I mean, now, you know, as if I look back to how I used to be, I'm world's different from, you know, it's
let's talk a little bit about that, because now you've done some things, you know, you've been very successful in your modeling career, you've been very successful as a personal trainer, and very successful as an athlete. You know, looking back now, what would you give advice to maybe somebody that's in your situation, or in a situation just like yours?
From when I was a child? I mean, from where I came
yes.
from?
Yeah, if you take, now you
okay.
have to put the coach hat on and say, okay, now
okay.
I'm in a position of looking back and somebody is exactly in the same position I was.
Yeah.
What couple of lines would you give them before we have to, you know, close down for today?
The couple of lines I would give is, I believe in you. I believe in your dreams. And I support you. And know that you can do anything you set your mind to. And if you give 110% every day, then that's all I can ask of you. Because for me, I was never shown love. I was never shown trust. I was never, you know, I had to be my biggest fan. And I see now people just want to be loved, right? They want to know that they're good and they're loved and, you know, that they matter. And it's like you tell a child that their dreams don't matter, that they don't matter, that what they inspire in life doesn't matter. That's, I mean, like I said, I mean, those words kill a child. I mean,
yes.
I like I told you, I think on the first show, I still remember that day sitting in the counselor's office when I was 14 years old. And they said, you know, we don't love you. You'll never amount to anything. And you'll probably end up on the streets. I mean, here, all these years later, I still remember that. And it's just, you can't take it back. And as I've worked with homeless kids and low-income kids, I see these kids, they all flock to me. They just want to be loved. They want to, you know, you can see the ones that are starving for attention. The ones that, Trisha, hanging all over me. What about me? Don't forget me. Play with me. You know, they just so badly want to know that they're cared for and they're loved, right? So to answer your question,
yes.
I think one of the most important things to do is to look at the child and just be John, you know, if you want to see John. John, you know, what are your dreams? What are your passions? What do you want to do with your life? Well, I want to be an astronaut, or, you know, whatever. Well, you know what? Then I support you in whatever you choose to do. I support you 110%. And if that's something truly what you want to do with your life, I back you up, you know, and don't give up on your dream. You know, it's again, when people see too many roadblocks in front of them, Stephen, it's like, you know, it's like, I can't do this. It's just way too much. And you got to look at it a day at a time. I think like Martin Luther King said, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. And it's just, you know, each day you take that next step and that next step and that next step, and pretty soon you have a pathway, and the pathway gets closer to your goal.
All right, we've run out of time for today. I want to thank you again, Tricia. I tell you,
you're welcome.
We did it in 15 minutes, but I'm telling you, I mean, if people would just take what you say and use it and apply it, I think the world would be a better place. So where can people get hold of you if they would like to get more information about what you're doing?
They can go to my website, or they can, you know, call you and you can give them my email. I'd be more than happy to speak to them on an individual basis as well. And, you know, I really, really, you know, I see so many kids out there, and especially working in, you know, some of the ghettos and areas like that. And I see so many kids that have so much, you know, potential, and they just don't have, the peer group. They don't have, you know, the parental support, and it's sad. And, you know, it's like, gosh, if I could do it, anyone can do it, you know, and I'm nowhere near where I want to be, you know. I just try to get up every day and live with purpose and help and serve other people, you know?
Done. All righty, Tricia, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Have a great day, Stephen.